We're going to have the Shakurs here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have Larry and Carol Shakur. Now, Shakura, that's an unusual name, Larry. What's the history or story behind
it? It's a Macedonian name.
Okay.
And Macedonia wasn't very well known until the Soviet bloc broke up, and now it's a country again.
You know, the other day when we were sharing, you were sharing a Noah's Ark story, a true deliverance story about really how Larry's family came here. Share that with us.
Well, my dad was raised in Macedonia, and as a young man, 19 years old, the Muslims came in and took over his village and took him actually prisoner of war, or made a slave out of him. And he smelled freedom, and he went across, he escaped and made his way across Eastern Europe, ended up in London, and he saw this great, thick, huge ship that was ready to go to the U.S., and he thought he'd stow away on it. And he did stow away on it, and he went way down in the hold, but just before the ship left port, they found him, and they took him off. And the name of that ship was the Titanic.
No kidding. Dad was in the Titanic, stowed away. They bring him off the ship. He doesn't get on the Titanic. And deliverance is there for the Shakur family.
Amen.
Amen. That's how, Carol, deliverance. You would have never met this man of your dreams without his father making it to the,
that's right,
the States. You know, Teresa and I love you guys. You're such a blessing to us and minister to us in so many ways. And we just, we look at your marriage and say, that's a good marriage. Every marriage has its ups and downs. But you got a good marriage. Carol, how does that happen? How does a good marriage work?
I believe it happens when a couple is in unity and has an understanding of being totally before God and each other in lots of prayer and honesty and transparency. And even at the times when you feel like you're not in agreement, and there are those times that you pray until the Holy Spirit puts you into agreement. And that's what I think makes a good marriage.
Amen. You know, so many lives are out there that are broken. So many marriages torn apart. And you've got a faith that both of you rely upon. And it just means a world of difference in your home, how it's affected your children. Keith, Elizabeth, their daughter, and Shay, my daughter, are best friends. Shay loves the Shakurs. It's their second mom and dad. So that, a good marriage overflows to being good parents to me.
Our marriage is the greatest blessing that we have here on earth, Sam. Our marriage is a tremendous blessing to us, and in this life there's a lot of difficulties, a lot of afflictions, but our marriage is the one real pleasure we have in this life.
Well, you were telling me recently y'all had been praying, and the Lord kind of revealed something to you about marriage and how important it was in ministry. What was that?
He spoke very clearly to us a few months ago, and he said, your ministry is not this missions project or that missions project, but your ministry is each other and being in unity with one another. And when you're in unity, said the Lord, then ministry happens and the Holy Spirit can act, because that's what unleashes his power.
Keith, we're going to let the Shakur share about missions. They're involved in missions in so many different capacities, but God brought you back to the point that you really can't be involved in ministry or missions or anything without your marriage being together. And really, that was ministry and missions, is your marriage and the unity that you have
in
that.
It's the key to everything.
How would you describe that? How important is unity in a marriage, Carol?
Well, you know, when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, those people had to be in one mind and one accord. And it took them 120 days to get into agreement, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They had to leave their daily cares and all of their problems in the sight. But when they did, when they finally got into agreement, God was able to move and work in a powerful way. And we have found that in ministering to other young couples and older couples too, that if they can get into agreement, if they can hold each other's hands, and it doesn't matter what kind of problem they have or what difficulty they have, if they can just say, I need to get a hold of your hand, we need to get a hold of God, and begin to pray until they pray through, that their finances, their ministries, their relationships, all seem to have a way of coming into some form of victory. And really, that's what it's about, isn't it? Isn't it overcoming? And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
Amen. Amen. That is so true.
That's a unity. It's kind of a hard thing to do. How do you keep unified?
Daily.
What do you guys do? What's the
secret? Pick up our cross.
Daily.
The unity is in the cross.
Is it communication?
How do you do it?
Is it a dedicated meal time? Is it...
It's this high context communication, Keith. It's sharing everything, leaving nothing behind, leaving nothing covered up. Total transparency, like our relationship with the Lord.
That's tough for a guy because guys hold stuff in and women are very expressive. So it's tough for a guy.
It's easy if you know it works.
Well, it's important. You've got to be transparent to one another, not hold anything in. But like you said, lay all the cards on the table, constant communication. And there's a lot of people, Keith, that will not tell their spouse certain things. I'll tell them everything, but I won't tell them about this, and it gets them in trouble. I know, Carol, you minister to so many people. You've ministered to my wife in time of crisis in our life. You're ministering to people now, and I think your marriage frees you up to do that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, God has designed us to be honest and to be transparent in our relationship with Him. And that's the master design for our marriage. And when we're honest and we're transparent, there's just a sense of unity. There's a sense of God's grace. And it's not saying that there won't be some times that you have mud on your face and you have to come and say, I've got mud on my face. I wrecked the car or whatever. But, you know, the whole idea of being honest is so important.
Has she wrecked the car lately, Larry?
Never.
Well, it's a lot easier when you're married to the perfect man, right, Carol?
Larry Chikoroff is a wonderful person, and I'm blessed.
Amen.
And Keith, you asked earlier, how do we maintain that unity? In the mornings, before we do anything else, we have our coffee, and we talk, and we read God's Word, and we pray together. And there's something so powerful about praying together. And then moments during the daytime, we connect to tell each other what's going on.
How do you do it, too, Larry? To me, you're a businessman, business management. You put things together in a business world, but yet you're so involved in ministry.
Right after I first got saved, the Lord told me if I would tithe my time, He would make the other 90% better than I could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good thought.
And I did that, and I didn't even know how to do it. I just acted silly, got in my car and just started talking to him, and just didn't even know much. Just got saved, but I heard him say that. And if you tithe your time, if you give Him the first, He'll sanctify the rest.
Now, Larry is radically saved.
Radically.
I mean, just radically saved. I mean, he's lifting hands and praising God at church, at the Mount Perrin Church of God. The church has been a real blessing to you guys, hasn't it?
Mount Perrin North Church of God is a real blessing. We love Pastor Mark Walker, and we work in the missions board under Pastor Charlie Walker. Charlie Weir.
Another Walker. Make another Walker.
That's right.
But you've also been involved in teaching Sunday school and doing all kinds of things. You've written books.
Well, we were had a lot of overcoming to do. We raised five children, and during that time, we started at Mount Perrin Central back in 1983, teaching middle school Sunday school.
My church.
Amen.
And my church.
When Mount Perrin North opened in 87, we moved over. But we were teaching every Sunday middle school, and we'd write down every lesson. We'd document every lesson, and we were raising our five kids. And we had a lot of overcoming to do, but as we were documenting our lessons, we noticed that the Lord made a path out of that, and that's really what our book is. It's just where we've been.
Well, let's say that. That's Grow or Die.
Grow or Die.
It's a seminar series, and it's really a manual for discipleship. It started with young people, and it's went beyond young people. It's got it to ministry to adults as well.
Well, we didn't really understand where we were going with this until back in 1998. We met some people from Haiti. And he asked us to bring this, you know, to bring the teaching over. And I asked the Lord, I said, what can we show the people in Haiti? I mean, you know, they make $150 a year and 85% unemployment. What have we got to share with them? And the Lord spoke very clearly. And He said, your lessons really teach people spiritual agriculture. It teaches them how to live on the Word of God. And you tell them that when you go over there in Haiti to give this seminar, that the Word of God planted in their human heart will work in Haiti just like it does in Cobb County.
Now, what happened when you went to Haiti? This is one of your many mission stories.
Well, a lot of things happened. I don't know what we have time for, but the net result is the seed of the Word of God has been planted in many human hearts, and fruit is coming out. There's churches being planted around this ministry. There's A voodoo priest got saved.
Praise God, a voodoo priest got saved.
There's about 10 little Bible, Shade Tree Bible schools all around the country from our partner over there, Posse's.
And it came out of this book, The Grow or Die.
It came out of teaching people how to live on the Word of God, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's spiritual agriculture, Mark chapter 4.
Amen. God's Word.
Amen.
Larry Carroll, it's a pleasure. You know, you've written another book, Be Real with God. And just so many different ways to touch people. And we'll talk more about missions in a minute. And it's just a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit, too, about tithing your time.
Okay.
That's been a passion of mine. You know, a lot of people feel,
of course.
And we're so happy to have you guys with us. And I've just been getting blessed just watching a couple of that are committed to each other and committed to the Lord. I was enamored with your concept of tithing your time, and obviously you did that, and just everything was bountiful after that.
Well, I just feel that we need to concentrate on our relationship with the Lord, with Jesus, and our relationship with our spouse. And when we do that, it's like seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added. And you know, it's easy to seek Jesus first because He's precious. And if you have a wife like Carol, it's easy to spend time with her. But when you do that, you don't have to get all sweaty and worried about ministry and about everything else. It's added. And then it's His work. It's not something you've produced. But you've taken care of what you can take care of, and that's the relationships. And He does the God thing.
It's just amazing to me, Keith, a man that is busy in the business world, but yet you minister to so many people. The mission projects of Haiti, South Africa, Liberia, these countries, and getting the word out. South Africa's experienced some wonderful things, but getting the word out.
The word of God, what we tell our people, our volunteers in those areas that have picked up this idea of spiritual agriculture is, the word is where it's at. Jesus said, repent because and stop trying to meet your own needs, but go to the word. The word is a seed. You got saved by the word of God as a seed, 1 Peter 1:23. So why not live the rest of your life on the word like we're supposed to? That's what Adam was supposed to do. And he turned, and Jesus said, okay, now I'm going to turn things around and try to teach you how to live on the word. The word is where it's at. You spend more time in the word, confessing the word, taking in the word. Carol says that we marinate ourselves in the word.
Amen.
And the word will do the work.
That's good. Now, is that from your cooking background or Larry's? What is it? You know, marinate yourself in the word. I love that.
Must be one of those Macedonian shish kebabs or something.
Yeah, it could be. A little bit of a Greek Macedonian background.
He did grow up in a restaurant in Hollywood, California, so.
That's right, boy. You married somebody out of a background, did you?
Let me ask you a question. You're a businessman, and you're on fire for the Lord, and you teach a Sunday school class, and you're involved in missions, and how do you approach Christianity in your job? That's a tough thing for a lot of people watching, you know.
That's
your
right.
Own fire on Sunday, but how do you translate that into using common sense in the workplace?
Have to really trust the Holy Spirit, because you don't want to bash people over the head with the Bible if the Holy Spirit hasn't prepared them. Mm-hmm. But you have to be ready to make a fool out of yourself for Jesus if the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding you.
I've always thought you lead by example, and if you're attentive to the Word, and attentive to the Holy Spirit, these doors will open up.
We felt that people, it says that we're a sweet-smelling savor. And if we are in fellowship with the Lord, people smell that.
See,
they sense it.
It's easy for me as a doctor because I have a bully pulpit. When somebody's sick, they're going to grasp at anything I say.
Right.
And laymen out there watching, listening, they have cohorts that they work with that see them on a day-to-day basis. I used to have a minister that said, you should work in your job place so that your unsaved employer would say, I want 10 employees like him.
That's right.
What's the difference
That's
in
right.
you?
That's right. That's right. Exactly. That's it. You got it.
And Keith, they're such an inspiration, Larry and Carol is, and it should inspire everybody out in the listening audience tonight just to say, God, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference in somebody's life?